Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm just going to warn you now, we're waking people up with some of the audio we're using, Aaron Rodgers, Kevin Durant, and how we are laughing at it. So be aware, be very aware that if you're groggy at this moment, you may be shouted right out of your stupor. No, I try not to shout, but sometimes my laugh can be a little raucous. I will not apologize. It's who I am. When I was a kid, when I would play sports or just on the playground, whatever, I got made fun of because of how loud I was and am. And people used to call me mouth and loud mouth and all kinds of other things. And there were times when that hurt my feelings. I was a sensitive kid. I'm still a sensitive kid. And I remember the one day where I was playing softball as an adult. I was playing softball in a work league. And someone said to me, "Man, you are loud," as I was playing second base and they were running the bases. And I don't know what possessed me. It's not like I thought about it ahead of time, but it popped out. Oh yeah, it's my moneymaker. And ever since then, I have never felt bad or apologized for being loud. Now, I will warn you, I don't have much of an indoor voice. And this is how it is all the time. I don't whisper very well, but it's the voice that God gave me, and he was preparing me to do this job. So I'm pleased that I have one that actually holds up and that continues to hold up despite the fact that I'm old. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for weighing in and for joining us on this, what is now a Thursday morning for most of you. We're having a pretty lively debate about what makes a Hall of Famer. Now, the context is Philip Rivers. He has announced his retirement after 17 years in the NFL. He played 252 consecutive games. He never missed a start over the last 15 years. That toughness was on display in the one AFC championship in which he participated when he was out there on the field with a torn ACL. And I don't mean months before he tore it. No, days before that. He had torn his ACL and he played anyway. This is a guy who, at 39 years old, would have been welcomed back by the Indianapolis Colts. They just finished as an AFC wild card. His season was 4,200 passing yards, roughly 24 touchdowns. The Colts won 11-5, and Frank Reich loved having him there. Talked about what a revelation it was, how it completely changed the Colts offense. The general manager has said, "We want him back if he wants to come back," but he doesn't. And I think it's interesting that so many people would look at this season that Rivers put together and expect that there might be this new lease on his career, starting fresh after the Chargers, and he played well, and there wasn't much of a drop-off. 309 yards and a couple of touchdown passes in the last game that he'll ever play, unless he does a reversal here, unless he pulls a Brett Favre. But in that playoff game against the Buffalo Bills. He was over 300 yards with a couple of touchdowns, and it was a game that went down to the wire. And yet, his announcement comes very quickly. And Brett Favre, who retired and then unretired and then retired and then unretired multiple times, was on Sirius XM NFL radio reacting to this quick announcement by Phillip Rivers.
I was a little bit surprised. Had a great year with a new team. I thought maybe that would kind of reignite. You know, I'm not saying that he's lost the passion because I don't know. But, you know, other things obviously have become more important. But I thought he played exceptionally well and certainly helped the Colts get to where they were. And so in that regard, I was a little bit surprised. But I understand.
He finishes fifth all-time in passing yards and passing touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers is likely to pass him. In fact, early next year, these are regular season numbers. Rodgers would pass him, if he stays healthy, pretty early next year. And so Rivers would then fall out of the top five. It would take a couple more seasons. One more really good season with Ben Roethlisberger for him to pass Phillip Rivers as well. Matt Ryan's still pretty far back, so he'd have to play for probably three more seasons at a high level to capture Rivers. But Rivers is part of what I believe is the greatest quarterback era the NFL has ever seen. The only guys ahead of him in career touchdowns and career passing yards, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, all crisscrossing this era with Phillip Rivers. Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, they're encroaching on his numbers when it comes to passing touchdowns. Eli Manning in the top 10, Matt Ryan in the top 10. And yes, it's a pass-happy league now, but Phillip Rivers has more than held his own among some of the best of all time, who will all end up on the stage in Canton. Many of you point to the lack of Super Bowl appearances, the lack of rings. And it's been this bit of a revelation for me. Why is it only a standard by which we judge quarterbacks, not wide receivers or running backs or offensive linemen or linebackers? We only ask this question about quarterbacks. Does he have rings? Okay, well then maybe Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. A lot of you are saying he never won anything. So because of that, he's not a Hall of Famer. Well, he actually did quarterback his team to 134 wins, which is eighth all-time among QBs. So there's a body of work there. His leadership, his toughness, his longevity, his intensity, his fire, his ability to raise the level of play of everybody around him. However you judge Hall of Famers, I think you're mistaken if rings is where you start. But to each his own. That is why we're having this discussion. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. With every score change during Super Bowl 55, someone wins $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. We'll hear more about Phillip Rivers and his career as we head through this hour. Really excited that we had Antonio Gates weigh in. So he was a guest on the Zach Gelb Show here on CBS Sports Radio. And he was asked the question about Phillip Rivers as a Hall of Famer. And he actually went next level and said he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And he'll tell you why. A little bit with Kurt Warner as well. We've already heard from Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and John Harbaugh. It's been a busy night on the show. Now morphing into a Thursday morning. And of course, our final show of the work week will be a lot of buildup for the championship weekend, AFC, NFC. Both of these games coming up on Sunday are rematches of week number 6, which I think is kind of fun and delicious and matters none at all. So we'll do more football, and I do want to take your calls, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. But I would be remiss if it did not tell you, I would not be doing my job if I did not inform you that last night was the debut for the Brooklyn big three. I'm using my air quotations because big three is so cliche these days, but it did happen. Kyrie Irving is he's back. He's playing basketball again. What? Oh, my eyes, my eyes. He returned after seven games, roughly $1 million in lost money between the fines from the NBA and the games he missed while he was in quarantine for skipping out on protocols. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. Boy, they put up some offensive numbers, but in Cleveland, it was Colin Sexton who had the last laugh.
Sexton, left side, contested three. Good! Good! Sexton hit it! Sexton hit the three! 1.2 to go! He hit it! Sexton hit it over Kyrie Irving! We're tied at 127! What a shot! My young bull! Oh, my! Sexton, six on the clock. Three ball. There's another one! Colin Sexton! Absolutely sizzling from downtown. 139, 131. Sexton steps back. Three. There's another one! Colin Sexton! An absolutely incredible display of long-range shooting. Cavs by 11, 142, 131.
Tim Alcorn on the Cavs radio network. 15 points in the second overtime alone for Colin Sexton. He finishes with 42 overall. It's a career high for him. And the Cavaliers as a team shot 51% against the Nets. So safe to say the defense is a work in progress. That might be generous. For long stretches of this game, there was no defense by the Brooklyn Nets. In fact, in the third quarter, I saw this chart that revealed that the majority of the shots by the Cavs were uncontested, just wide open, almost like it was an all-star game. And I suppose if you look at the Brooklyn Nets, you might think, yeah, this is an all-star team. KD had 38, Kyrie with 37, James Harden had a triple-double. They were all smiles. There were lots of high fives, though the NBA has outlawed hugging. Do you know that the NBA is actually putting security at midcourt now to prevent these opponents from hugging each other? After they sweat on each other and ran up and down the court and probably spit a little bit unintentionally. After they exchange bodily fluids, no hugging. No having fun, no chewing gum. No hugging. No smile. Are you smiling? Don't smile. Anyway, there was definitely plenty of offense, but there was no defense. So Kyrie returns for his first game since January 5th. Of course, James Harden is three, four games into his Brooklyn Nets career. Kevin Durant is coming off the injury but playing lights out. And now these guys have to figure out how to put it all together. The offense is not going to be a problem. There will be days when Harden takes fewer shots, and I think last night was probably one of those nights. With Kyrie coming back against his former team, they put this tribute video up, and he was all up in his feels. He's been that way for a while. Harden played 51 minutes, but only took 14 shots. Now, if you know James Harden's game, that's not very many. But he did have a dozen assists and 10 rebounds. Durant took 25 shots. Irving took double the number of shots of James Harden, 28. So both those guys played roughly 50 minutes. No Joe Harris in the starting lineup. It was Jeff Green instead, which I thought was interesting. 45 minutes, only 16 points. But how about this? And this is the piece that I worry about for those of you who are basketball fans. Joe Harris was signed because he's a volume shooter. He gets hot from downtown, and he can just bury bucket after bucket. 42 minutes last night and only 6 points. But even crazier, he only took 7 threes. Now, that seems like a lot for a lot of players, but not for Joe Harris because that's his game. So that's something else that's going to change for the Nets. But what really needs to change is they need to figure out how to play defense. And so often defense is communication, it's reps, it's being comfortable with who's rotating and who's dropping down, who's coming up, who's trapping, who's doubling, all that stuff. Who's going around the screen, who's going through the screen. Who's switching? I mean, there's all of this stuff that they've got to work out, and they can only really do it by playing, and there's not much time to practice these days. So, okay, they need to learn how to defend better, and that's what Steve Nash was talking about. But by the way that Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, James Harden were all smiles following this game, you would have thought they had just won the NBA championship or at least earned a right to play for it.
Man, always playing the game that I love, I'm grateful. So I never take it for granted. And then also to be, you know, playing with Kevin Durant, James Harden, you know, just those names alone right now, just like we're having some fun.
24 hours, how his tune has changed. I don't know how he does it. If you didn't see his press conference from Tuesday, it was the first time he spoke to the media. He was laying down. He was laying down his head on his arms. He looked like Eeyore.
We're having some fun.
And now he's all perked up and happy. Maybe that's what basketball does for him. Maybe going back to Cleveland and being worshipped with the tribute video and the flashing of the ring. Maybe that's how easy it is. He just needed to get back to his peers and be encouraged by what's ahead of them. But I got to tell you, Kyrie being grateful pales in comparison to Kevin Durant's assessment of the new big three in Brooklyn.
It felt right. It felt perfect. It felt like we belong together. You know, it felt like, you know, this journey together is going to be fun. You know, it was a tough first start, and especially it was an up and down game for us. But, you know, I like where we are.
I'm telling you what, I'm holding out for a man who says the same things about me. It felt right. It felt perfect. It felt like we belong together.
It felt right.
It felt perfect. It feels like this journey is going to be a good one, a long time.
It felt perfect.
One date, and it's love at first sight, baby.
It felt like we belong together.
Now, KD doesn't typically wax poetic. That's the interesting thing. They obviously wanted this to happen, but it cracks me up. After one game, it felt right. So perfect. Forever, together, we belong. I feel like there's all kinds of music that we could be using as the soundtrack for the new Brooklyn Nets. It's good stuff. 855-212-4227. The Nets have got to learn how to play defense, but otherwise, it's perfect. And we're asking you, as Philip Rivers rides off into the sunset, two-part question here. You very often call me with two-part questions. The two-part question, how do you define Hall of Fame, and does it fit Philip Rivers, and who replaces him? We've had some really interesting answers. Quarterback carousel, Russian roulette. Oh, wait, that's probably politically incorrect, right? Russian roulette? I don't know. Anyway, maybe some people don't even get it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Third and goal from the 9. Rivers back into the game. It's a screen left side to Nyheim Hines at the 5. He's in there. He twists his way across the goal line. Touchdown, INDY. Nyheim Hines, his second touchdown in the first half. And the Colts have the lead. It's 13-7.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Among the 24 touchdown passes that Philip Rivers threw this season in his first and only campaign with the Indianapolis Colts, another 4,200 passing yards for him, an 11-5 mark for the team, and an AFC wild card, though they were still in the running for the South title until the last week of the regular season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We are going to hear from Antonio Gates here in a second, but a listener on the Facebook page mentioned LaDainian Tomlinson, who was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2017. Tomlinson's career was shorter, and he did end up with the New York Jets at the end of his career, where he played in a second AFC championship game. But his career is very closely tied to Philip Rivers' career arc with the Chargers. And Tomlinson is into the Hall of Fame, and he never won a Super Bowl and only appeared in the two AFC championships. So I understand that some of you think quarterbacks should be held to a higher standard, but that should not be the determining factor about whether or not a quarterback makes the Hall of Fame or doesn't. Again, consider that Rivers has played among the best of the best, and yet his numbers and his longevity and his production is commensurate with some of the best quarterbacks we will ever see play this game. What do you do when it comes to defining Hall of Fame? Where do you go? What's your first instinct? Is it numbers? Is it rings? Is it the way they play the game? Is it the eye test? Kevin says on Twitter, number one, never cheated. I like that. Number two, performance at the position as good or better than the other established Hall of Famers. That will certainly qualify with Phillip Rivers. And he says three, an excellent ambassador for their sport. And that's also the case with Phillip, as Kurt Warner was talking about in the wake of this retirement news on NFL Network.
I love who Phillip Rivers is. I love what he represents. I love him as a family man. I couldn't sit down and talk with him enough because I just loved his passion for life and passion for our game. And he's going to be missed. You know, I mean, we see a number of these quarterbacks getting to the end, and guys that, that I've watched for years, guys that I competed against, guys that really set the tone for what the NFL is and what the quarterback position is all about. And Phillip did that as well as anybody. I hate to see him leave as a fan of the quarterback position. But at the same time, what I always knew about Phillip was that this wasn't everything to him. You know, he's got an unbelievable family. He's got a passion for this game and to impact people. And I always knew that, stepping away, as hard as it would be, he would be excited about the next chapter. And so I'm excited about the next chapter for him because I think he's going to go on and have tremendous impact in what he does. I know we all believe it's going to be coaching to a big degree, but he's going to have tremendous impact on the next generation and quarterbacks playing this game for years and years to come. And so I'm excited to see what's next for him, although he will be missed because we all appreciated the way that he played the game.
Kurt Warner about Phillip Rivers on NFL Network, and a lot of these tributes will surface, and you'll hear them and you'll see them over the next couple of days. Eventually, Rivers himself will make emotional comments, no doubt. But it sounds like this was a decision that he was settled on only because of the timing of it. It was very quick. Even Brett Favre said he either made up his mind at the start of the season or somewhere along the way, because it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of wrestling with it. Now, he got pretty emotional after they lost to the Buffalo Bills, but said, I don't want to get super emotional, and so I'm not going to make any announcement right here. But it came pretty quickly, and he is already committed to coach high school football in his town. And so that's kind of fun. I think it's really cool that he's got a plan and he's going to take that same passion. His longtime offensive lineman, Nick Hardwick, who is a regular here on the show, has told us that Phil, what else did he call him? Phillip, Phil. There were some other nicknames that we were talking about the last time Nick was on the show. Anyway, he said he wakes up excited. And so he will take that same passion and that same enthusiasm to his high school football field. And no doubt those kids are going to be in heaven. We'll have the opportunity to learn that fire, that intensity, but also the right way to play the game. 855-212-4227. We'll get to your calls here in a second. But Antonio Gates is a Hall of Fame tight end, and he played with Phillip Rivers for many years in San Diego. And he was a guest on the Zach Gelb Show on Wednesday evening right here on the network.
When you start addressing the term Hall of Fame, I think you know some people like to, they're affiliating it with a Super Bowl championship. So I think that's the wrong thing to do. For me, I like to affiliate it with a success from an individual standpoint. What did that person contribute to, and how much he contribute to the game of football over the career of his football career? And when you think about what he's contribute to not only just the Charger Nation, but to the game of football. I mean, you're talking about, that draft class at quarterback. And then he's all-time leading players over those three, over Big Ben, over Eli, but ultimately he's top five. So when you put that in perspective, in anything you do, you finish in the top five in anything, any sport, any position, to me, it's self-explanatory in terms of what I feel you know, you being a first ballot, because you already proved it to me in black and white that you are a top five quarterback, because your numbers happen to speak, you know, speak to everybody fluently about what you can do and what you've done over the course of your career. And I can't imagine him not being a first. I mean, I just can't imagine it. You know what I mean? I've seen guys that's at number 40, respectfully, and they made it. And some guys were on the fence, in my opinion, and they only made it because what? Maybe they won a Super Bowl, but they didn't have an illustrious career like he had.
Illustrious. It's also a good word, a great SAT vocabulary word that I'm going to have to drop in future shows, like transcendent. We got that word on Facebook earlier on the Zach Gelb Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Antonio Gates talking about his former QB, Philip Rivers. Al is listening in Wisconsin. Al, what do you think?
Well, I believe that he ought to be in the Hall of Fame, because I look at it from the standpoint of his longevity. And if you are considered one of the best at the position that has been played, when you take that and measure it against others, a ring has never been a criteria in my, I guess, in my thoughts, because there are a number of people who actually do have rings who may not have actually an outstanding career.
Oh, many.
Could have been at the right place,
yes,
at the right time.
Yes.
When I look at a Reggie Miller, who doesn't have a ring, and a Ewing, who doesn't have a ring, and when I look at the great Barry Sanders that doesn't have a ring, then I cannot, with consciousness, even put that as a criteria to determine whether or not a person could be in the Hall of Fame. It would be absolutely an insult to take a person of Rivers' standard and status and what he has done day in, day out, year in, year out, and not put that in a special place.
Al, you're not supposed to make so much sense when you're a sports fan, you know.
Well, it's the passion of the game.
I like it. Thank you very much. Those are great names, and you're right. There are a lot of people out there who own the bling and are nowhere near. They're not even sniffing the Hall of Fame. And so maybe it's a nice perk and it's an added piece, but it should not be the determining factor. So I like this very logical phone call from Wisconsin. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Of course, have the NFC Championship game to look forward to. I got to call Grammy Helen and tell her when the game is, because she tends to forget. And if she forgets, she takes a nap and then she'll miss it altogether. It's a good thing that it's not late at night, because she would definitely go to bed. She did that once. She told me there was, can't remember when it was. Maybe it was the beginning of last season, when it was this. Remember with Sunday Night Football, Packers played the Bears and they were down at half and Rodgers was hurt, and then he comes out of the tunnel and he's better and he throws like three touchdowns and they rally past the Bears. Well, I remember I called Grammy the next day and I said, Grammy, did you watch the game? Well, I went to bed at halftime. Oops. So I'm gonna have to call and tell her when this game is kicking off, because I know that she'll be excited, just because the rest of the family will be excited.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hill off the right shoulder, the snap. Lamar Jackson back to throw. Guns it into the end zone. Intercepted! 2 yards deep in the end zone, intercepted by Taron Johnson, and he brings it out, and he's still on the run. He may go all the way. He's at the Baltimore 40, the 30, gets a block at the 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Taron Johnson goes 102 yards with an end zone interception, touchdown Buffalo!
When they say something like it happens in slow motion, it was kind of like that. Like when he's running, Taron Johnson's running, I'm in the moat down there as a sideline reporter, and I can see Taron Johnson running. I can see the sidelines going crazy, and I can just see these people, a sea of people. It was incredible. The emotion just started flowing. Kind of like at that moment, I think it was, Amy, that you kind of knew they were going to win, just because the Ravens had so much trouble in that game, you know, moving the ball. The Bills are about to go up two scores. That was really cool about it. And I'll tell you, you know, I've been here a long time covering this team. I haven't lived here the whole time. I left, I came back, but I've been part of following this team since I was a little kid. And that is one of the not only greatest plays in Buffalo Bills history, I would say one of the greatest plays in Buffalo sports history. That's how big it was.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sal Capaccio from WGR, our Buffalo affiliate, and also Bill Sideline reporter, as he points out, had a front row seat when the chaos erupted. And as Taron Johnson was snaking his way through every level of the Ravens offense to try to return that pick. And once he got the block that sprung him from Lamar Jackson, he was off to the races. 101 yards, an interception return for a touchdown that really did bury the Ravens in the third quarter of their divisional playoff game. And now it's on to the AFC Championship. First time for the Bills since 1993, when it was Chiefs and Bills and Joe Montana and Jim Kelly, Hall of Famers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. John Murphy is the play-by-play voice of the Bills and, of course, part of that same broadcast team. If you missed my conversation with Sal, it's great stuff. We talked about the Hall of Famers from the 90s with the Bills. He's in touch with a lot of them, as well as the excitement of having fans back. The disappointment of Brian Daboll in not getting selected for the Chargers head coaching job, and also the development of Josh Allen. Really good stuff with him about Josh's completion rate now and his accuracy and how it's improved. And at the end, we had a chance to ask him about Philip Rivers because he saw Rivers last NFL game, last playoff game in person there in Buffalo. So definitely check out that conversation with Sal. He's a lot of fun. After Hours, AmyLawrence.com is our podcast address, and we do tweet and post the links on Facebook as well every weekday morning. Of course, the Bills don't know yet if Patrick Mahomes will be available for the AFC Championship, though he did practice on Wednesday in a limited capacity, and his coach Andy Reid gives the update.
There's only certain things he can do, and it's a limited basis, but today is a little bit limited practice. So this fit right into what he could do. But he took all the snaps, and, he feels good. So, I mean, we're just going to follow this protocol as close as we possibly can.
So everything that they have asked of Patrick Mahomes to this point, he is passed with flying colors. So he's in the concussion protocol. Of course, there are five different steps that he has to achieve. He was allowed to do limited work, no contact. And on Wednesday, that was fine because they don't do hard practice on Wednesday. But it's just another step toward him clearing protocols and being able to participate on Sunday. He was a full participant, quote unquote. That was his designation in practice. But the team actually reversed that and went back to limited, which was weird. It created a bit of a controversy, but nothing changed. It really, the designation needs to be accurate because the NFL gets ticked off if you're not completely 100% accurate with your injury reports. And so he's in concussion protocol, but to this point, there have been no setbacks. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up Sunday, we've got that spot in Super Bowl 55 that is the prize, like the carrot dangling above the field, as the Buffalo Bills take on the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship at Arrowhead. You want to start with the pregame. The NFL on CBS kicks off at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, with JB and the guys. That's the NFL Today, followed by the AFC Championship Sunday on CBS. What about Philip Rivers? Not only are we asking you the Hall of Fame question, but who replaces him? There are a myriad of options. I do not know which direction the Colts go. Frank Reich can certainly develop quarterbacks. That's the position he knows, obviously. And he worked well with Carson Wentz. Could it be Carson? Might Sam Darnold be available still early in his career with a lot of potential? Maybe some of you are suggesting Matt Ryan. Could we go crazy? And would they try to make a play for Deshaun Watson? What about a Dak Prescott who does not have a contract, though the Cowboys say they're committed to him? But if they tag him a second time, you would think he'd be looking elsewhere. So there are some interesting options, a Jameis Winston, an Andy Dalton. What about a Mitch Trubisky? I can't even say it. I can't say it with a straight face. Mitch Trubisky and Frank Reich. That to me is not a match made in heaven. You know what, Producer Dave? It would be the opposite of the big three in Brooklyn. It felt right. It felt perfect. It felt like we belonged together. No one's going to say that about Frank Reich and Mitch Trubisky. That's not happening.
It felt right.
After one game. I mean, this is the very epitome of speed dating.
It felt perfect.
We're going to get a lot of mileage out of that. I'm not sure what's funnier. Is that funnier in context, considering that they played one game together? Or is Aaron Rodgers funnier as he talks about the future being a beautiful mystery and the present being a gift? Do you think he's been reading some books or just, it's so funny to me, and I'm not saying that it isn't important to love yourself and to be grateful for your present, to not take your future for granted, to not worry about your future. All those things are great, but it just goes against everything we see of him on the field when he's a stone cold killer who will cut your heart out if he has the opportunity. And then he goes on radio shows and says,
present is such a gift.
No, he doesn't say that. He goes on radio shows and he says, you know what? It's really funny to me how a down year for me is a career year for most other quarterbacks. I mean, he's as arrogant as Kobe Bryant, and yet you got to learn to love yourself. The present is a gift. I don't know how to make those two things jive.
A beautiful mystery, I think.
What? Who are you, and what have you done with Aaron Rodgers? Can I be honest? I don't think I like this version of Aaron Rodgers as much. I prefer the Hail Mary stone cold killer Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I love Aaron Rodgers.
There we go. Thank you, Tom Brady. Alan is listening in Toronto. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. You use the term first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't agree with that at all, because there's no such thing as a first ballot Hall of Famer. Either you're in or you're out. You're either a Hall of Famer or you're not. Example, okay. Reggie Jackson got in the first ballot. Jim Brice got in the 15th ballot. Ricky Henderson got in the first ballot. Jim Raines got in the 10th ballot, and their plaques are the same. All plaques are equal. All plaques are the same, so there's no such thing. Either you're in. As for Rivers, no, I'm not going to put him in, because he had a fine, unremarkable career, and he was too interception prone, you know, too turnover prone. He's in the same category as Eli Manning. It's going to be very interesting whether they get both of them get in.
You know what? I'm stunned that you say his career is unremarkable. He threw 421 touchdown passes, and he's top five all time, and he passed for better than 63,000 yards. How is that unremarkable?
1.72 touchdowns per game. That's very mediocre as far as I'm concerned. And look at his win-loss record. 134, 103, that, you know, he's just above 500.
Quarterback wins should not be a stat, man. You don't win games by yourself. But anyway, I'm stunned by that. So would you say that Brett Favre's career is unremarkable, or you put him in a different category because he has a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I guess because he has a Super Bowl. But
Dan Marino. Dan Marino? Is Dan Marino's career unremarkable?
He was very poor in the postseason. He was only 8-10 in the postseason.
No, you didn't answer my question. Is he in the same category as Philip Rivers? Is his career unremarkable?
Yeah, he wasn't as dominant. I guess, I don't know. They just weren't dominant. Here's what cast my deciding vote. In the last five seasons, they were 35-45, and he only made the postseason once, and he had some pretty good players on his team, too. He had Keenan Allen, Melvin Gordon, Melvin Ingram, Joey Bosa, and Casey Hayward. He had a pretty good team, and the last 5 years, he was very mediocre. He does have 4,000 yards passing, but I guess a lot of that's come from behind. You know, I think it's very overrated. Look at Big Ben. Big Ben had 501 yards, and he had it in a losing cause, 48-37 against the Browns, you know. I think 4,000 yards is very overrated, because a lot of times you're just coming from behind and you have to go in the air. So it's you know.
All right.
He's borderline, but if you say he's going to go in, I just wouldn't put him in, you know, myself, because he had 203 interceptions in his career, and they were just too.
Well, Brett Favre had a lot of interceptions too. I think the last 5 years, again, I don't agree with you. He was a Pro Bowler three straight seasons, 16, 17, and 18, and those were all with the Chargers. In 2018, they went to the divisional round of the playoffs. Remember, they beat the Ravens in the wild card round. They nearly won the AFC West. It went down to the final weekend of the regular season against the Chiefs, and that year – Each of those years, his numbers were astounding. But when you look at touchdowns, 33 and 16, 28 and 17, 32 and 18. And then, of course, he did make the playoffs this last season with the Colts. So, I guess I don't see it the same way. But certainly that's why it's an interesting debate, Alan.
Well, we can't see eye to eye on everything. You know, we can only agree on some of the things.
Yeah, I don't think we see eye to eye on anything. But it's okay. I don't mind that. The world would be boring if we all agreed, especially on sports. Who really cares? It's just sports, right? So
yes, exactly.
I appreciate your phone call. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Yeah, I will. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Awesome. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. The Hall of Fame debate, like I've been talking about tonight, I think is skewed away from quarterbacks who don't have rings. And we don't say that about anybody else. No one asked that about LaDainian Tomlinson or Megatron or Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas is a first ballot Hall of Famer whenever he is up. I guess it would be three more years, right? He's been retired too. The great Browns offensive lineman who played, 10,300 something consecutive snaps. There's no question that he's a Hall of Famer. They're not even a lot of stats that you look at to back it up. It's eye test and it's longevity and it's the durability and the toughness. But he never played in a playoff game, and I wish he had. I really wish he could have been part of these current Browns and experienced that. But I don't think that it's the end all to be all. Sometimes, if it feels right and it feels perfect, you just know you belong together. Oh, thank you, Kevin Durant. That is the gift that we'll keep on giving, no doubt. So here are some other suggestions for a potential, I was going to say fill-in, but that's not fair, a potential new quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. Matt Stafford. I like that one. If the Lions decide to blow it up and go total rebuild and allow Stafford to go somewhere else, do you not think Frank Reich and the Colts would be one? They'd be, pick me, pick me, pick me. Now, it would have to be a trade unless they would cut him, which, you would think the Lions would want something in return for him. But Matthew Stafford stepping onto that Colts roster with the offensive line, with the incredible run game, with the weapons they've got and the defense. Oh, come on now. Matthew Stafford on the Colts. Sign me up for that. I'd be good for that. All right, coming up on our final show of the work week, it's all to the wall. Getting ready for Championship Sunday. We'll talk to you then after hours on CBS Sports Radio.
It felt right. It felt perfect.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.